This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
With the Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper. I'm excited today that I have a guest with some very interesting books, Elise Faber. Hi, Elise.
Hi there, Patsy. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm great. It's actually a really exciting day for me today because I have a release today. So sort of good timing for me to talk to you.
Exactly. So tell us about that. I didn't realize that when I booked the event today that you were having your release today. So tell us all about the new book.
Yeah, so my new book is called From Ashes, and it's the first in the series of standalone books. I write paranormal and contemporary romance predominantly. And so it's got some hot, sexy alphas. It's got a really strong female lead and lots of action and some pretty cool bad guys.
So,
it's with my Phoenix series, so there's some cameos from my past book, but it's just the start of a brand new series.
So this is, when I was looking before at your books, I was really intrigued with your Phoenix Rising books. Tell us about those.
Yeah, so my Phoenix series is Phoenix Rising and Dark Phoenix, and that follows Daughtry, who has the ability to manipulate death. And so she's got kind of a cool superpower, and I always say it's sort of like Harry Potter for adults, in that there's a world inside of a world. So there's humans who are sort of oblivious to all the magic happening, and there's some other humans who can do magic. And so they're sort of hidden in plain sight. And Daughtry's ability is kind of cool because, you know, she thinks she can make a difference in a lot of people's lives. And so there's also other lead characters, Matt, some hot alpha males, a bad guy called the Yalshay who can do sort of evil magic. And I think my books are known for having a lot of fast pace, a lot of action, a lot of strong female lead.
So the From Ashes is your, which, how many books have you written now? This is number?
From Ashes is number three. In the Phoenix series. And so it fits in with the same timeline, but it's going to be the start of a brand new series in, which follows just two main characters in every book. So each book will be a standalone, so you can pick up any book in the series. But you'll also get little bits of, cameos from my past characters. So if you've read my Phoenix series, you'll get a little glimpse of Daughtry or Cody or some favorite characters from the other book.
So how did you come out with the idea to work in this sort of paranormal genre?
I think that for me, I have to write what I like to read, and I like reading paranormal. I just think it's a fun escape from sort of the day-to-day real life. You don't know what to do magic, but it's kind of fun to pretend sometimes. The idea for Phoenix Rising came from me and my son were walking down the street and had this image, I think I would call it like mom sense, where like, oh my God, what would happen if he ran off the street right now, or what would happen if the car gets crashed? I mean, sort of like worst case scenario. And I thought, oh my gosh, what if someone had the ability to see that? And what if they had the ability to change it? And so that's sort of where Daughtry's powers came from. And the whole book was based just on the first scene of my like worst case scenario, what would happen to my kid if they ran into the street, and her being able to change that.
And so when did you write your first book? It was in what year?
I wrote my first book about 4 years ago, and I went to a conference sort of as a fan because I really enjoyed reading, and I was like always like, oh, I'll write a book someday. And one of my favorite authors sort of sat me down and said, if you're ever going to write a book, you got to sit down and do it. And so I really took that to heart, and I sat down that first year between conferences and wrote the first draft of Phoenix Rising. And then I went to the conference and took a bunch of workshops on craft and made it better. And then I submitted it, and so it got published the following year. So things happened pretty quick for me, but I think it's just because I spent a lot of time sitting and writing.
Did you submit it directly to a publisher?
I submitted agents and publishers, and I got a contract from Blue Tulip Publishing, and I ended up going with them.
And I know that they're doing quite a great job of helping authors bring their books to the public. and they are one of the things they encourage, I know, are for you to attend events, book shows around the country. And do you enjoy participating in that?
Oh my gosh, it's so much fun. I mean, I think writing is really a solitary profession. You know, you're sitting at your computer and sort of the onus is on you. And it's nice to meet some of the people who've been moved by your work and sort of to put a face to it. You know, I think that it's just really great to hear the people, you know, from on a one-on-one basis saying that they like a particular character or a scene really resonated with them. And so I think that's, for me, is the best part of going to book conferences. And also, you know, meeting other authors and people from the industry is important too.
And did you participate in the Beach Babes book blast here in Tampa?
I did, but I'm going to be there next year.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I was at that event, and I didn't, you know, I thought I tried to see everyone, and I didn't see you. And so I was wondering if you were going to be at the next one, because it's really a wonderful event. They put on a great show, and I'm sure you'll enjoy coming here to Tampa. And when you do, you have to come into the studio so I can get to meet you.
Oh, that would be so much fun, yeah. And, you know, Megan and Kim do a really great job with that event, and I totally love to come. My sister actually lives in the Orlando area, so I was like, you can't keep me away next year.
Well, great. We'll look forward to it, because you're right. Megan and Kim, who put on the Beach Babes book blast, do such a great job. I was truly amazed to see the enormous turnout and how professional everything was set up. So I know that you'll enjoy coming to Tampa. You're right now, Ann. You live in?
I live in Northern California.
In Northern California. And I know that you're a big hockey fan.
I am, yeah. My sister and I both play ice hockey. And I started when I was about 16, which is kind of funny. Everyone hears California and they think ice hockey. Like so said. But there's actually, I'm sort of in the San Jose area, and there's a big ice hockey community here.
Well, I'm a big hockey fan. I come from Michigan, and so, of course, we were raised always around hockey, and we've been having a great time. We had a great time with our Tampa Bay Lightning team. a little bit sad there at the end, but it was a wonderful season, and so we really enjoyed it. And I think this, you know, hockey fans are so always so enthusiastic. And you have two sons, right?
I have two sons. They're 3 and 5. And the greatest day of my life was my older son is just starting to play hockey. So that's a lot of fun. We get to go to the rink together. And the funny story is that he told my husband the other day, my husband wanted him to go, they do like stick time where you can kind of play around on the ice. And my older son said, no, and dad, mom, hockey is a mommy sport. I'm the only one who's taking him. So I was like, this is great. It's an excuse to play more hockey.
Well, it's good to start them young. That's the best thing. It'll be fun to go along with them. I know. I was a homeschool mom, and so of course I did all of these events with my boys. They never got into hockey, but we definitely did the skating, and so that was great. So how do you find time with a busy schedule of hockey and two boys and a husband? How do you organize your day so that you get in your writing?
I think that's a question I get a lot, especially from my mom friends. They just wonder how I have the time. And I think that I've always been sort of a self-disciplined person, and I like a routine. So I wake up, you know, and I get a couple of hours of writing in, and then the kids get up, and then we go to school. And then again, when we do our rest time in the afternoon, I write some more. So I break it up. I can't sit down and do 8 hours. You know, there's no way that my kids could tolerate me being busy for that amount of time. But I just try to do it in an hour or two. And I think increments, and I try to do it every single day. And I think it's like a muscle. And so, like, you know, if you're doing it every day, you can sort of sit down and go to attention real quick and get my words cranked out. And then, you know, I can move on to something else.
I'm sorry, I had a little interruption there. I live constantly between. I have to write early in the mornings because, you know, I'm so busy. I have so many things going on with preparing the radio show and everything. But I like to get up also early in the morning. I love it before everybody else is up and I can start writing. So I know the feeling. Now, when you you weren't a writer. You didn't start off as a writer. What were some of your? You were working in a zoo. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, I was a biology major in college, and I ended up working as a zookeeper and then as a dog trainer. I really got into sort of the training aspects of the animals. And while I really enjoyed that part of it, there's some sort of factors that you can't control. And I think that it was fun for me to sort of move on from that and be able to, you know, put that experience in sort of, I think, if you've read my book, there's like a biological aspect of, you know, for my degree that comes into my books. I think things are broken down sort of scientifically sometimes. So I think that that goes into my book. But it was a really fun career, and I got to work with lots of cool animals. I just always say I was never a lifer. It was a fun experience, but I like writing better.
Well, yes, I did notice that the scientific part, and I think that that's one of the reasons your book seem, you know, they're very compelling. You bring a lot of authenticity to your writing.
Oh, that's good to hear. Yeah, I mean, I think I try to, you know, I think that every writer comes from, you know, they've had some stuff in their past and there's some painful memories. I think it's that drawing on that helps to, you know, make your writing authentic. But it's nice, always nice to hear.
Oh, that's good. That's, you know, it's when you're writing, you're always thinking about, you know, what the reader is going to say. And so tell me, do you read your reviews?
Yeah, I think you glance them. And, of course, when, like, it was my first book, that was something that, like, you know, I was checking every single day and reading every single review. And I think at this point I'm a little bit more zen about it and hope that the reviews come because, you know, those are important for other readers to get your work. But I'm not as stressed out about them. And I think that that's a better place to be, because if you're just checking every single day and sort of glued to Amazon, is another review going to come on? Is it going to be good or bad? I think that it sort of takes you away from the experience of enjoying that your work is out there.
Well, I'm going to be talking to another writer today, and she's, I think, finished her 17th book. So it is a process where you start off with one book, and then you keep going, and you have so many years ahead of you. Are you going to stick to paranormal subjects, or do you find yourself interested in other areas like historical romance or?
Yeah, I have some purely contemporary romance that are going to be coming out later this year. And I have a YA, issue-driven YA, that is sort of in the works of getting out, which I can't really talk much about. But hopefully that'll be coming out early next year. And so, yeah, I'm trying to, like, expand, and I enjoy reading across the board. So, you know, I think I'll probably plan on writing across. I don't know if I'll do historical, because that's a lot of research, and I kind of like to dive into the story and go. But I do like contemporary or like military suspense, mystery. And so hopefully I'll be able to dabble in those a bit.
So do you get a lot of time to read now that you're so busy writing?
Less time, but I still try to make it a habit to read a couple of books a week. I think that a big part of writing is reading, right? I mean, and you learn a lot from reading other people's books. So I think it's an important part to stay with.
Well, I know I'm going to have your publisher on in a few weeks, and I was really impressed when I met him here at the event in Tampa at the Book Babes Beach Babes Book Blast, because he was so enthusiastic about his work in bringing new writers to the public and about all of the he encourages people to write, and I think that's wonderful that he has such an open attitude that he's willing to, you know, look at new authors, and you know, so often authors have a hard time to break into the business, and I know that you know, he's just wonderful.
Yeah, you know, Nate and his wife is Rachel Van Dyken, and she's a New York Times bestselling author. She writes like The Consequence of Loving Colton, and she's written the Mafia series. And they together are really supportive of new authors. And I think what happens is when your first book comes out, you have no idea what you're doing with publishing. I mean, the market is really flooded. There's a lot of people who are self-publishing, and there's just a lot of books out there. And I think that you don't know where to start to get people to see your book. And so Blue Tulip is really focused on marketing and making a brand for your book and getting as many people as possible to see it. And I think that Nate and Rachel do a really good job of helping us do that.
They definitely do. And I'm looking forward to interviewing Nathan soon. Now, all of your books, of course, are available at Amazon. And you have your own website. What is that?
It's Elise, E-L-I-S-E, Faber.com, and it's F-A-B-E-R.
And I like very much your little blog post that you write right on there. I thought that was really nice.
I try to spend try to get one blog post a week. It doesn't always happen, but I think it's nice for people to see, your readers to see, that it's not always just like, hey, buy my book. I think if people see you as a friend or can relate to you, they're going to be more likely to follow you through the year. And so I try to just share silly things that happen with me with my kids, or some funny hockey stories, something that's genuine to me.
Well, I love to see when the readers come to these events and they're so enthusiastic and they're so happy to meet the authors and to, you know, share a few insights with you guys when they meet you. And I know that that it's, for authors, it's a wonderful opportunity to be able to talk to your fans.
Right. Yeah, and I think it's a great place. I mean, I think I mentioned before that, you know, like, you're sitting in front of your keyboard all day, and you're by yourself, and so that to be able to have that interaction means a lot, and I think it's motivating to continue to write, especially when something resonates with someone.
Well, I'm very happy that I got to speak to you today, Elise, and I really, really hope that you make it to Tampa next year and come into the studio. Let's arrange it so that you'll come into the studio so I'll get to meet you, because I enjoy your books. I think that you've got a great future. And, as you said, every book gets a little bit better. You learn, and it's a fantastic thing that you're doing. I think people need to have books to take their minds off of some of the other things going on in the world. And so I think your books are great, great reads and great summer reads. So I encourage everyone to go to Amazon and look up Elise Faber. And her newest book is, tell us again?
From Ashes.
Oh, From Ashes. And it's going to, you will really enjoy it. So a great book to take to the beach or to sit under the shade of an apple tree and read. So thank you very much, Elise, for joining me, and look forward to seeing you next year.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Love a good book? Come out to Orlando for the Indie Book Fest 2015. Hang out with over 60 best-selling authors at Fanfare, where you can chat, take selfies, and get autographs. Enjoy the fun theme parties. Join us July 31st to August 2nd at the beautiful Caribe Royale Hotel in Orlando. To buy tickets, go to www.indiebookfest.com. Find your own story at the Indie Book Fest 2015.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
The City of Dunedin introduces baseball done our way. Start with a morning on our pristine beaches. Next, off to downtown for some unique shopping. Then a bit of lunch at one of our many award-winning restaurants. And now, time for an afternoon game at Florida Auto Exchange Stadium. Finish the day off with a sunset cruise on the Gulf. A day in Dunedin. A day done our way. For more information, go to DunedinGov.com.
Show me the money.
It's the Employment Opportunity Hour with Gene Hodge, every Thursday night from 7 until 8.
So the purpose of the show is to help you out there to find something that you enjoy doing instead of a job. And at the start of the show, I normally give out a formula, which I know will guarantee you to find the type of job that you want right now.
Find out the formula to an enjoyable job with Gene Hodge's Employment Opportunity Hour every Thursday night from 7 until 8 here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Show me the money.
Hi, it's Sawyer from the Dolphin Tale movies. Now is the perfect time to visit the world-famous Clearwater Marine Aquarium. Millions have seen us around the world, and now you can experience what we do in person. Come and reconnect with Winter and her fun-loving movie co-stars, Hope, Mavis, and yes, that crazy bird, Rufus. Immerse yourself into the world of marine life rescue with a behind-the-scenes tour. Explore the film sets, and don't miss our free boating adventure. Save time in line when you buy tickets at seawinter.com. Kids only $16.95.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome back to Joy on Paper. I was just talking about summer reading, and if you're looking for something to read this summer, I suggest you start with Anne B. Ross's latest book. If you haven't already read her books, you might even start with her first book, which is all the way back, written in 1999. She's now on number 16, and I'm so happy to be able to talk to Anne Ross. Hello, Anne.
Hello, Patsy. How are you?
Well, I'm great, and thank you so much for joining me. You know, I should tell you that your last book, your most recent book, Miss Julia Lays Down the Law, nearly killed me.
Oh.
Yes, no, it's true. When I got to the part about Lou Ann Conover worrying about wearing neon latex jogging suits, I started laughing so hard that I choked on my ginger snap.
Oh, for goodness sake.
No, I really did. I mean, when people read your books, and Miss Julia's books, this is now number 16, I think, right?
I think that's right.
Yeah, number 16, you're losing count. But, you know, when they read your books, they get to know your characters. And so the image of Luann wearing a neon jogging suit was just too much for me. And so I was laughing, and I'm choking at the same time. So then I reached for my iced tea, which I nearly gagged on, and I'm thinking, this is a fun way to read a book. I have to be careful in the future.
That's a great story.
There are sometimes, you know, I love in all books, I love a good laugh. And so you're reading your books long, and you know, nice stories about a small town, and you learn all the characters. But sometimes you get these scenes that really just you laugh out loud, and I love when a book makes me laugh out loud.
And well, I love it to hear about it too.
Well, I'm going to start talking like you in a minute. I'm sure many people, you know, when they first meet you, they want to think that you're like Miss Julia, but of course you're not.
No.
but you do have the accent, I think, huh?
Oh well, I was born and raised in the South, so yes, I have the accent.
I love it. It's so beautiful. Now, I'm from a small town in northern Michigan, and people who weren't raised or didn't live in a small town don't quite understand what it means, because it's different from suburbia.
that's what I understand, but you know, you don't have to live in the South to enjoy these books.
Oh, no.
Because I have readers from California, Canada, France.
Well, exactly. You know, it's so funny, but they come so alive for somebody who, like, I'm from northern Michigan, but our small town had so many of the same kind of people.
Yes,
that, you know, it's a universal, I think, the type of people that you write about, it's there's a universal personality to some of them.
Well, that's lovely to hear.
I just love it, you know. And as I said, of course, after 16 books, you start to know your characters. And matter of fact, you know, I Abbotsville, which is the name of the little town that you write about, is so real to me that sometimes, you know, I think there must be really a place like that. And so I looked it up, and I cannot believe there is no place in America named Abbotsville.
Really?
I mean, I thought...
I did not know that.
I mean, I thought for sure, well, there wasn't one in North Carolina where you put it. I thought, well, there must be one in some place.
Right.
But there isn't, and there should be.
Well, in our hearts and minds, there is an Abbotsville.
Well, you have created an Abbotsville so full of characters. You know, when you first started, and I was mentioning that your first book was from 1999, did you know, I mean, did you have any idea of the world you were creating?
No, I was so thrilled to get that one little book published. I had no thought of what I would do next, if anything. In fact, I thought that I and Miss Julia had said everything we had to say in that first book. So when the editor wanted more and more and more, I occasionally at night worry where the ideas are coming from. But when I sit down and start typing away, they come.
There they are.
The bucket's not empty yet.
Well, for people who don't know Miss Julia yet, and they have to start reading your books to learn about her. She right. Just explain briefly what she is and how the first book started about her okay. death of her husband.
Okay. All right, she is an elderly lady, and I am constantly asked how old she is. But let me tell you, Patsy, I would not dare ask her. You do not ask a lady her age, but she is elderly, and she appeared to me as a mental image, and I saw her in a white winter coat, a little hat on her head, and a pocketbook dangling from one arm, holding the hand of a little boy. And they were always walking away from me down a sidewalk, and I kept wondering who they were and who that child was, because obviously she was too old to be his mother. And it did not seem that she was his grandmother, because she seemed so stiff and uncomfortable, as if she had not been around children very much. And so it took me a while to discover who that child was. And when I did, that's when the stories really took off. Now, do you want me to go any further?
Well, just mention Wesley Lloyd, so we
okay.
know.
Okay, well, she is a recent widow. Her husband was Wesley Lloyd Springer, and after she has buried him and discovered that he had a lot more money and properties and holdings than she had ever dreamed. They had always lived well, but she had no idea what he was leaving. And someone knocks on the door, and it's Hazel Marie Puckett in a dress too short and heels too high, holding the hand of this little boy. And it is Wesley Lloyd, the junior, spitting image of her deceased husband.
Aha.
And so then things really begin to happen then.
And they certainly do. They certainly do in that first book. And, of course, it's carried through to through all the books, the characters, so many of the characters. I'm not sure. I suppose you have a master list of characters. And
oh,
who,
honey, I wish I did.
You don't?
I don't.
Well, you know, it's going to take some graduate student who's going to do a thesis about you.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Well, I'm
yes, but you see, I always, every book that was published, I thought, well, this will be the last one. And it never was. It never was. And so it finally got, had so many books that I just couldn't take the time to go back and search out the characters. But I pretty much remember most of them.
Well,
those that I want to use again come immediately to mind.
Well, so, you know, they seem, as I said, when one reads your books, they seem so real. All of Miss Julia's friends or the people around her seem so real.
You make me feel so good that I feel that I do not do well with description. So that's an especially nice thing to say.
Oh, no. I think you do a great job, because, you know, the fact that when you're described, you know, I knew what Luann looked like in my mind.
And so, what she would look like in the nylon.
Oh yeah. That was just too funny. And as I said, I'm going to be real careful about eating or drinking anything when I'm reading your book.
You should. Well, now, have you read Etta May's Worst Bad Luck Day?
Oh, yes. Oh, you know, I think, I'm not sure, well, I can't say which one of your books is the best, but that has to be. Was that one of your favorites to write?
I love that character, and I love the book, and it practically wrote itself. So I'm very pleased with it. It's new out in paperback now. So I hope people will look at it. And for those who don't know, if they've read any of Miss Julia's books, they probably already know Etta May, because she pops up in several of the books.
Yes, she does.
Become a very close friend and companion of Julia. But you know, Patsy, the first time I used Etta May as a character, I had no idea what she was going to become. I thought she was just a secondary character that I would never use again. And yet, here she comes in book after book after book till I realized that she had something to say herself. And so I really enjoyed this book, and I appreciate you saying you liked it, too.
Absolutely. You know, and, of course, Lillian, who flows through your books, is such a wonderful, wonderful character and one so endearing.
Yes, she is, and she is just very precious to me. A reader wrote to me one day, and she said, can you tell me where I can find another Lillian or another Sam? I'll take either one. It doesn't make any difference to me.
Well, Sam, Miss Julia's new husband, is such a man of few words, but always the right words.
Yes, I hope. Yes, a man of dignity and Southern charm.
Exactly. He's a wonderful, wonderful character. And again, you say you're not descriptive, but you know he is one. One imagines these people so clearly when you know, after reading just a few of your books, one knows these characters so well. And as I said, you know, now you live in a small town now, right? You've always lived in a small town?
Yes, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Now, do people go around saying, are you writing about me?
Well, they always want to know who Miss Julia is, and I've been accused of being Miss Julia, but I truly am not. But there's very little we have in common. But I have had people come to my hometown and look for Julia's house. People from the Midwest come by this little town and look for Julia's house.
Oh, well.
They don't find it because it's in my mind.
It's in your mind. It was funny. I was reading that... you know, your books are published in other languages like German and Japanese. And
yes.
I noticed that they said they're translated into Croatian. And I was wondering, why Croatian? Are you?
I know. Don't ask me.
I mean, I thought, are you Croatian? You have a Croatian background?
No. They're being translated into Italian now.
Well, I can see that, but I was wondering, why Croatia? I thought maybe you had a Croatian.
I don't know.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yes,
I think
yes,
it is. You know, now have you made book tours to Germany and Japan yet?
Oh goodness, no.
Why not?
I can't do that. I don't fly.
No, you don't fly.
No.
So all of your book tours, you have to drive to or take a train.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But it would. Well, you know, I think to meet your Japanese fans. You know, Japanese fans of anything are always such enthusiastic people that. You should get on a plane. Why not, you know?
Well, we'll see.
Young once. I can see you in Japan. I think that would be fun.
Oh, Patsy.
It would. You have to think about that. I'm not going to suggest you go to Croatia because really...
enough's enough.
Exactly.
I'll go to California instead.
That's a nice trip.
I keep getting invitations from there.
Sure.
I'm delighted that you like Miss Julia and that you like Edame too.
Well, I do. And I'll tell you, you know... One of the reasons I do this program, which is called Joy on Paper, is to encourage people to write and to encourage people to follow their dreams. And now you definitely, you know, you went back to school or started college after your kids went to college themselves?
Yes, I finished college. I only had a junior college degree when I married.
Uh-huh.
And so I finished college after my children were up and I could... do a little something on my own and got a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and a PhD degree.
Wow. I mean, so it's never too late, right?
It is never, never too late. Yes.
Well, that's fantastic. And at that same time, that's when you started the writing?
Well, after I wrote my dissertation and defended it, then that's when Miss Julia came into my head. I guess maybe... my mind was empty after all of that, so she popped up into my head.
So it's just wonderful, and this is what I always encourage. I meet people, I talk, you know, to different groups of people, and I encourage them first. As there's always at least one book in you. If it's not a novel, it's a book about your family, a book about your grandfather. Or I recently had a gentleman in here who wrote. He had written a poem for his wife every day for 40 years.
Oh, my goodness.
40 years. And then for the 40th anniversary, he took the best ones over those years and put them in a book. And I thought that was so beautiful.
It is lovely.
And
it really is.
You know, I think that's, you know, you might not write the next great novel like Miss Julia or a series of novels, but at least you can try. And it's never too late.
And well, that is absolutely true. And I will tell you, and you can pass it along, that the best advice, writing advice I have ever received came from an editor that I heard speak years ago. And he said, I am not looking for the great American novel. I'm looking for a good story. Send me a good story. And I think that's where I am. I'm not looking to, you know, be another To Kill a Mockingbird, but just to tell a good story.
Well, this is actually a historical day since you mentioned.
I know. Yes.
Have you gotten the book yet? Have you?
No, I haven't. And I hope it's good. I'm sorry it's getting some little bit of bad publicity at first. You have to take into consideration when things were written. I doubt The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn would stand up under that scrutiny.
Exactly. You know, it's such a mixed feeling about that book. You know, we've all admired it for so many. You know, Harper Lee's book. You know, we admired the writing, and of course, it's hard to say what the effect is going to be now with the new book.
Right. And I hope she knows what's going on.
I don't think so. Yeah, I
agree, and that puts a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, that makes it all the sadder because
yes.
You know, I'm not sure that she is aware of what the effect is going to be.
Right. Right.
So, you know, it's
sad is the right word for it.
Exactly. That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Now your Miss Julia series is yours, and I think that's wonderful. And I, you know, maybe 100 years from now, they'll find the original Miss Julia.
And, oh my goodness, Patsy!
Yeah. So you got one hidden away
No, I just want to entertain people.
Well,
and you know, a reader wrote to me about that in my book, and she said, "I laughed while I was reading it, and I cried when it ended." And I thought, that's exactly the response I would like.
Well, that reader is exactly right. That's exactly the response of most people who read it because it's
that's really nice. But I want to entertain.
But you do, and I as I said, I think laughter is so important, and what you brought to it. Of course, you know, I had read somewhere, and I don't know if I read it or that you. Who are your favorite writers?
Well, I often say Chaucer because he made comedy legitimate, first made it legitimate, although others had written before him. But if you're talking about popular writers, current writers, I like the deep-down, nitty-gritty cop and detective stories, things that I cannot write, but good always wins. That's what I like.
Yeah, I do too. I love cop and detective books.
Yeah, John Sanford, that group.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but then I get into spells where I go back and reread a lot of my books out of graduate school. Because my field is medieval studies,
uh-huh.
So I go back and read about Constantine and Augustus and Claudius and so on.
Well, you know, I think that when you're writing your Miss Julia books, whatever frame of mind you get into, and I do you write every day?
Yes, yeah. Unless I'm on tour. I might make a few notes on tour, but I don't even attempt to do anything while I'm in a hotel room getting ready to go speak or something like that. But when I am home and in the routine, yes, I write every morning.
And you get yourself into some, I don't know, in your Miss Julia mode. And
I guess so. It just seems if I start typing on the computer, you know, the voices seem to come, and off I go. And it's a great feeling to work 2 or 3 hours in the morning and feel like you've done something halfway decent, and the rest of the day is lovely.
And you just let it go the way you let so you go with the flow as you feel the characters would do in your real life Abbotsville.
Exactly, I sure do. I know there's some writers who outline and plan and plot before they even begin to write. But I cannot do that. I lose freshness or something. I like to let it just come and flow as it goes. And there's some things, many things that happen in the book that I don't think I would have thought of if I were just outlining. So I just let it come.
Let it go. And mm-hmm. and I know that, have you already finished number 17?
Yep.
You finished it.
Well, actually, I've come to the end of the story. I haven't quite finished it because I will start at the beginning and read through and tie up loose ends and so on. My deadline is the 1st of September, so I have plenty of time to do that. And I'm eager to get... I just got back from tour yesterday, so I'm eager to get started on it again.
And you enjoy the tours? You enjoy meeting all your fans?
Oh yes, I do. I get tired. I've been doing it now for, 14, 15 years, and I'm getting more and more... It's just taking me longer to recover when I get home. But I love meeting the readers. I really do.
And I know they love meeting you, and they put on... I think teas and all sorts of events for you. Just
yes, they have. They have. They are just lovely people.
And to celebrate that Southern comfort, Southern hospitality, that is sort of part of your books.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It is. It must be fun to do
it
that.
It really is. I just enjoy it so much. And you know, people make a special effort to come out at 7 o'clock at night to a bookstore. I've never done that for a writer. So I really appreciate when I see somebody walk in. And so it is fun.
Well, and I know that, you know, readers are so appreciative. I've gone recently to some of these book signing events, and I've been in, you know, I talk to the people in line, and I say, you know, why are you out here? Why are you out here? And they all always say that it just... They've loved the book so much that mm-hmm. they just want to show their appreciation to the writer, to let the writer know that you know, for a little while in their lives, whatever, you know, book they're reading, they've been, their life has been fuller. And mm-hmm. I think that's what your books definitely do that, because, as I said, coming from a small town, and I know the kind of characters, the type of people, you know, that are in a small town. I was the first paper girl in my town, so I
you
know, delivering newspapers on my bike.
Oh, I love it, Patty.
So I got to really know all the different people, you know. And, of course, being a newspaper girl, I knew which people woke up early, which people were still in bed, you know, which people were doing different things. You can learn a lot when you're a paper girl, I can tell you that. And, of course, being in a small town, it was funny. In those days when I was little, I could still go into, you know, it was a small town, and we had 3 bars, and they took newspapers, and so I could walk into the bar, so I knew who was in the bar.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, so it was lots of fun, and I think I always love to get into books where there is a small town and where you get intimate with the people. And
I'm glad. But listen, Patsy, let me ask you this. Is there a book in you?
Oh, I think so. Yes, I'm coming along. As a matter of fact, it was funny. One of my I interviewed a very nice writer who husband and wife team. They wrote a book about his exactly what I said was saying to people, that you can. There's a book in everybody, and they wrote this beautiful book about his mother, mm-hmm. and And it's really a lovely book. And so at the end, she said, well, you know, I have to come back. And I said, why? She said, well, I'm going to have to come back, and I'll do the interview of you when your book comes out.
Oh,
so.
How nice.
So I thought that was so sweet of her, because
it's
so much fun. And that's why I want to, I'm encouraging myself and, of course, encouraging all of my listeners to, read and to never give up. And if you can go to college when your kids are off and your everybody else sort of sitting back and doing nothing,
playing bridge and that sort of thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can just get active and be like Anne B. Ross and get out there and get 3 degrees.
I mean, it can bloom in your late age.
Exactly. Yeah. It's never too late, and that's a wonderful thing. You know, we. People live so much longer now, and it's wonderful to see, you know, so many people just keep going, you know, doing something interesting in life.
Right. I couldn't agree more. It's something to get up for every morning.
Exactly. Well, you certainly have something to get up for every morning.
Oh, I do. I go to Abbotsville every morning.
and I'll ask you the question. I know people do ask you this question, so I'll ask it too. And one of your expressions that you use in your books is "They Lord."
Yes.
What is that? Because we don't have that up north in Michigan. We don't use it.
I know, and in a lot of states they don't have it, because I do get that question frequently. And to tell you the truth, I do not know. It's something I've heard all of my life. So it's said in Georgia, in South Carolina, occasionally in North Carolina and Tennessee. And those are the only states that I can vouch for. And my feeling is that it's really the Lord, and that the is just exaggerated. The Lord, you could say when you're surprised, or the Lord, if you're put out with something or frustrated. That's the only explanation I have.
Well, you know, it's a joy to talk to you, because you have the voice of Miss Julia, as I imagine, and so it's a voice that I've had in my head for a long time.
Oh, good. Okay, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Believe me, I am not Miss Julia.
I know, but you know, you've got the voice and you have the heart of someone who doesn't give up and someone who keeps going. And I think that's part of Miss Julia's the beauty of Miss Julia.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing to say. Thank you.
Oh, well. It's been absolute joy to talk to you, and I want to thank you so much. You know, I did, we were scheduled to talk last week, and
yes.
I switched it because I was very honored that I had the recipient of a Medal of Honor, Colonel Leo Thorsness, and I needed to speak to him because I'm working on a project about F-105 pilots, and he was one of the great war heroes of our time. And won the Medal of Honor, and I needed to speak to him.
Oh,
and
absolutely!
I knew you would, with your generous heart and great love of America, you wouldn't mind that I put you off for a week.
Absolutely not. In fact, this is better for me, because if we had spoken last week, I would have been in a hotel room, and now I'm home and much more comfortable. So. This worked perfectly.
Well, I'm so glad, and I love to think of you there in your little town, and mostly in your little in Abbotsville. So thank you so much, Anne. It's been a pleasure. And everybody, please go to Amazon and look up the Miss Julia books. And if you haven't already started, just start at book one and keep going, because they are fill your summer. I can tell you, this is real summer reading.
Yes, it is. Patsy, thank you so very much. You're very kind, and I've enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, I've enjoyed talking to you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Okay, well, that was absolutely fantastic to be able to talk to one of the most prolific writers and best-selling authors, Anne B. Ross. Please, everyone, go to Amazon and get her books. You will really enjoy it. And then go to my webpage, radio-joyonpaper.com. You'll be able to see some of the of my many guests, and my guest last week was Colonel Leo Thorsness, and you can listen to his interview. And also, while you're there, remember that I am helping all veterans put their books and publish their books on Amazon or Kindle for free. There is a contact page. It's on radio-joyonpaper.com. If you go to the contact page and send me an email, I will meet with you, and or over the internet, I will help you get your book published for free. I don't charge you anything. So that if you've written a book and you want to see it out there, please let me know. I really would enjoy helping anybody get their book published. So this is Patsy with a Z, and I want to wish you a great week. And, you know, it's a wonderful time in the summer to pick up a book and to start reading and just open your mind to new experiences. There are so many wonderful books out there. Another great summer read is Brad Meltzer's new book, The President's Shadow, which is a wonderful book. And so please get out there and start reading. Remember, one of the joys of life is to read and also to write. So if you have some spare time, get out there and start writing. Join me next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for Joy on Paper. Meanwhile, remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it, and have a great week.